15:4:3. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and say it again, with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak moral bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help those two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are written in the Book of Life.
Sati, if you'd like to come up.
Sorry, I have not turned my system. Come through the speakers. Good morning. Come on. Good morning. See, I like responsive worship. I like people being answering, talking, telling me things, telling me, oh, that was wrong and all that. It's interesting when we do things as a family, rather than doing it as a very formal setup of people sitting and one person talking and everybody else thinking, I don't know what he's really saying. Before I start or focus the attention on the text this morning, I just want to highlight that we had a brilliant morning yesterday. What was yesterday? Open morning with the leadership team. And it was a time to know the leadership team, how the church functions, how things happen and what all happens behind what we don't see on day-to-day basis. It was a wonderful morning. I also want to remind along with that that the nominations for the leadership team are still, come on, open. It's obvious. If it is closed, why would I talk about it? The closing date is 6th of April. If you think that someone should become a part of leadership team, please do take a form from us, myself and Helen. But if you're writing someone else's name, don't do peekaboo. Don't write their name without asking or talking to them. I think if you wish, talk to that person. If you think, oh, you should become part of the team, please come and talk to us. I think it is always helpful for a church family to have more members of the family sitting together and seeking God's direction in what he wants us to do as a church. So 6th of April is the final date. Forms are, nomination forms are there. Please do get them from us. The passage this morning that we are focusing on is Philippians chapter 3 verse 15 to chapter 4 verse 3. Now this is a very interesting passage. I think just a quick reminder. Where was Paul when he wrote the epistle? I'm not talking about the city, a place. He was in the prison. So that is a very important aspect for us to remember when we are reading this epistle, because even though he was in the prison, he is not talking about it all the time. He does refer about it. He mentions that, and then he goes on dealing and talking about things that he wants to talk about with the church and encouraging them and correcting them and telling them what they should be doing as a church. And for me, that forms a very important background when we read this letter. When we come to chapter 3 and chapter 4, or even throughout the whole epistle, I think one of the challenges is to divide which section goes with which chapter. Now, we need to really understand when Paul wrote, he never sat and wrote in terms of chapters and verses. It was one long paragraph, one long thing, like we like. I don't think so. When we write emails today, we write it in chapters and verses. Do we do that? If you do that, please don't send me an email. because I don't want to quote you. You wrote in your email chapter 4, verse 3. That would be so wrong. So it was not there. And I think, therefore, then when we think of these chapters or when we think of these passages, it is difficult to take one major chunk and talk about it. It will always connect to the one that is before that or the one that follows after that particular passage. So we are in very much in continuation of what Liz spoke about with the theme, where is our focus? Is that right? Where is our focus? Was I focusing on that day? Yes. So where is our focus? and we are very much continuing with that. And when I looked into this passage, I had quite a few words that caught my attention. And I could easily talk about a lot of different things this morning, but one of the words that caught my attention was in verse 15, where Paul says to them, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And that's where all the song's backgrounds said, are we there yet? Now, when we think of the whole chapter starting from verse 1 in chapter 3, Paul talks about a group of people whom he's not very friendly with. You know, something like that, if we say things, you know, if we call someone dogs and all that stuff this morning, that would be so wrong, you know. But Paul uses those words, and Paul goes on enemies of cross, and he's really angry with them. He's not really being very polite to show his anger. And Paul talks about this group. Now, I have been saying this, that Philippi was not, there were not many people in this city who were Jewish. So there's always a bit confusion or not clarity who this group was, but we will come to that a bit later. Now, in this chapter, if we look at chapter 3, in verse 15, Paul uses the word maturity or mature. In verse 12, 13, and 14, Paul again uses a very similar word. And the word that is translated that in English is perfection. So both this word perfection and being mature are very similar words. But there's a huge contrast in what he's saying. In verse 12 and 13, he says, I'm not yet perfect and I'm aiming towards that. And in verse 15, he says, we, those who are mature. Now, what does Paul talking about? What is Paul talking about? What is he trying to say when he's telling the church that, yes, Christ did this and therefore I'm pressing on towards the goal of what lies ahead and doing things that Christ wants me to do. So I'm not perfect yet. I'm not like all achieved, all done. But he also calls himself and others in the church mature. So what is that Paul is talking about? Now, when we see people, You know, we look at people and we say, oh, he really looks mature, or she really looks mature. You know, the way she talks, the way he talks, the way he behaves, or the way she behaves. They really behave very mature. And sometimes we might think, oh, they need to really understand, or he need to really understand. He's grown up now. That's not the right behavior. You know, we assess people's behavior and we term them as being mature or not being mature. Right? The way people behave, the way people speak, the way people do things. And we assess, you know, and naturally it changes from context to context at times. But there are three things that I would like to highlight this morning which are reflected in this passage which Paul was trying to highlight when he's talking to this church. Now, when Paul talks about all the things, you know, now a little reminder to ourselves. You know, we talk chapter 3 when we start. Paul talks about a group of people whom he calls, whom he shows that he's really angry with. And he talks about the importance that they give for the aspect of circumcision. And Paul then talks about, if that's the case, I should have been the one who gets all the marks corrected because I've ticked all the things on the list. So I am the one who is the best one. I am the one who has done everything. But he says, no, I am still not perfect. And that's where I think we enter in verse 15 and we follow that passage. And the first aspect of being mature is realizing that we are not there yet in terms of doing what God wants us to do or who God wants us to be. You know, it is easy at times for me as a minister to stand and say, oh, I am a minister, so I'm really special. I must be really spiritually up there. You know, I'm a minister. I talk from God's word and I quote quite a few verses and I pray with a lot of people and I do things. I'm up there. And when we walk in our Christian life, it is easy for us to think, oh, you know, I've been Christian for so many years and I've done these things and I've achieved this. I can do this and I've done this and I've been involved in serving the Lord in various means and doing a lot of things. And Paul would have again easily said, if he would have written this letter to our church this morning and said, oh, if you're talking about this, wait, I have done this, I've done this, I've done a missionary journey, I've preached, I've been in the prison and I've suffered for Christ, so I have a lot of merits to go on my list. But Paul says, yes, these are the things, but I am not perfect. And first sign or first aspect of being mature is to realize that we are not there yet in terms of what God wants us to do, in terms of who God wants us to be. Now, I know this can create a confusion when I'm saying who God wants us to be. We all are children of God. We, those who have believed in Christ, we are children of God. There is no groups, classifications, separations, when we accept Jesus Christ as a living Savior. But we all are in a different stages of our journey with the Lord. So until and unless we come to the place where we believe and behave and live a life knowing that we are not 100% right in everything that we do, I think we need to check ourselves. You know, second thing that Paul talks about, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. What things? That things that he's talking about in verse 12, 13, and 14, that we are not perfect, but we are pressing on towards those things. We have not achieved everything in our walk with the Lord, but we, as we live our life every day, we are heading towards those things. The second thing that Paul then talks about is, if you disagree on some points, I believe God will make it plain to you. So if we are the ones who are mature, we depend on God to guide us in everything that we do. Now, there are two places, there are two times that Paul talks about disagreement. In verse 15 and then in chapter 4, verse 2, he talks about Euodia and Syntyche who had a disagreement. Now, just to give you a note, that this is not that they have been following a different aspects of belief. That's the bigger group that Paul is showing his anger against. But when Paul is talking about disagreements, he is talking about, yes, we all have a same faith. We all believe the same basic core faith. But then the way we look at things at times, there can be disagreements. We do have disagreements. And at times, we take it to such a great extent that we don't want to be with one another. But Paul is saying that if you are someone who is spiritually mature, you should not depend on things the way you look at things, but you should ask God to guide you. We should be asking God to lead us. We should be asking God to tell us, God, tell me, what am I supposed to do of this? Asking God for his wisdom and asking God for his guidance in doing things that we should be doing in our life. And verse 20 that we have read this morning, where Paul says, we are the citizens of heaven. As mature Christians, I try to avoid the word Christians because then we take it into a lot of different arguments there. But as mature followers of Christ, we are citizens of heaven. Now, and I think what Paul says here, he is not saying we will be. So it's not something that will happen in the future. And that is really important thing for us to understand, my dear church family, that we are now, today, here, are citizens of heaven. But when we take that title, it is the life that should be reflecting that truth in everything that we do. A life that that is rooted in humbleness, as we said, Paul is a great example of all the good things, but he is also a great example of how humble he was. Paul, again, he was always dependent on what God wanted him to do. You know, if we read the book of Acts, he did follow what God wanted him to do. It is a great privilege to be a citizen of heaven, but it is a great responsibility to live our life based on those things. And therefore, I think I want to ask us again, when we think of the word being mature in following Christ, are we there yet? Can we, if Paul writes the letter today to Church of Countess Free Church Ely, where would Paul place me? Will he be really angry at me and say, all the things that he has said, Sat, you are enemy of the cross by the things that you do? Or will he consider me in the group of people whom he is calling mature? And that's the question that we need to be asking. Because this passage, Paul is not really talking about more of outreach. Paul is talking about what is happening within the church family. You know, this group that Paul is really angry, showing his anger towards, can be either Jewish people who were there in the city of Philippi, can be either Roman citizens or people living in the city of Philippi who knew of Jewish culture and therefore they looked at these people. Because we need to understand this, that initially when people started following Christ or were started to know as Christians, they were considered as part of larger Jewish group. So they were not separate people. They were part of that group. So therefore, then whatever Jewish people do applies to them as well. And therefore, this aspect of being circumcised was always dominant in the early church discussion whenever people spoke about believing in Christ. So then this group might be those people who knew Jewish culture, and therefore then they're questioning them what you're doing. Or this group can also be a group of believers who decided to follow Christ, who became part of the church, who started their journey, and then they got confused because they started looking at the things that kind of are there in the world. And therefore, then the question of circumcision came into the play. Now, in Book of Acts, there was another discussion that happened around this. So it was not that this church was exclusively dealing with that. And as we said last time, as Liz was talking about things, and she asked a beautiful question, what are the things that we are focusing on? And she gave a good list of things. My dear church family, as we think of the question, are we there yet? Living as a citizen of heaven, putting ourselves humble, keeping ourselves humble in everything that we do, depending on God for each and every step of our life. What are those aspects when we walk with the Lord that always brings us down, that stops us from being mature as we walk with the Christ? You know, there are quite a few things that we can think about. But I think over the years, I think I have, this is my personal experience, and I have seen people saying this, and I think I'm at fault here as well. We have made our personality in a particular way. We have nice, beautiful titles, introvert, extroverts, and this and all that stuff. And when we come to worship the Lord, or when we worship the Lord, we carry those titles with us and think, oh, because I am like this, you know, I cannot really do few things that church does because that doesn't suit my personality. Because that's not who I am. When we can have a huge discussion about worship music that we use. Oh, I really don't like fast music. I like slow music. Oh, I really cannot. I don't, really don't like that kind of song. I like this kind of song. And because those songs were there, or because those elements were there, you know, I really couldn't worship the Lord because that doesn't suit me. Because that's not my personality. And therefore, I'm asking church this question. Are we there yet? Yes, those people focused on circumcision, but we do focus on so many different bits and things and say, oh, I couldn't really grow in my relationship with the Lord because I have this. Because this is my condition, this is my situation, these are the aspects I'm more focusing on. And you know, there's a beautiful Sunday school song that I got reminded when I was writing this sermon. The song says, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. And I think I might sing this song again and again because it's a beautiful reminder. Our God is beyond who we are. You know, if Paul wanted to give an excuse, he was in the prison when he is writing this epistle. You know, the story of Paul and Silas, Acts, because that's where I preached. That's what I preached when I came to this church for the first time. They were in the prison, and what were they doing? Complaining? Crying? Asking God, God, what are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Oh, I cannot really worship you here. The bed is not comfy. The food is not good. You know, I don't have freedom to do things. What were they doing? They were worshiping. They were singing. You know, we have so many stories of people who served and worshiped the Lord and God honored their faith. Now, I'm sorry, I didn't read the name. You know, we know this movie, Chariots of Fire. It's about a runner, right? Yeah, just to make sure that I'm quoting right movie. Roger Bannister. Yeah, it's about a runner. Like, fine. But do you know what happens after that? After that movie ends, there's a long, interesting story from the point that movie ends. Do you know what happens to that person, Roger or Eric? Yeah, yeah. He goes to China. He goes to China and dies as a missionary in China. But he goes on to worship and serve the Lord. Not because it was really comfortable in China. Not because they were welcoming and they're like, oh, please come. We want to hear Christ. Come and tell us. No. My dear friends, we are where we are because God has blessed us. We are living our life the way God wanted us to live our life. Not sinful, okay? So don't say if I'm committing a sin, that's because God wanted me to do. Sat told me. No. But we find curtains to hide behind. We find situations, personality traits, or all sorts of things to hide and say, oh, only because of this I couldn't do it. Only because of this I am not able to grow in Christ. Only because of this I am not able to serve the Lord. Oh, because of that I was not able to worship the Lord. Oh, because, you know, that person came and I really don't really get along with that person. And because that person was there in the church, oh, I couldn't really focus on God. My dear friends, our God is much bigger than that. Our God is much bigger than who we are. And that is what Paul is telling them. You know, this passage beautifully starts with verse 2 about the bodies, because they were talking about circumcision. And Paul again intentionally, I suppose, brings in the concept of citizenship. We know, Zemian reminded us this morning that it was the city that was under Romans that gave them the privileges of being a Roman citizen. And Paul is intentionally, I suppose, bringing in that words to say, see, your citizenship of being a Roman citizen really doesn't matter because we are citizens of heaven. And he doesn't go on with the long list of things that we must do as a citizen of heaven, but he is talking about kind of bringing the attention back to the argument of circumcision, saying, see, you talk about all these things, your bodies will have no value when we go to the heaven because we will all receive a new body. Our bodies will be transformed. So you must do this, you must do that. We'll have no place in heaven. And my dear friends, that is a very, very similar thing for us. We might focus on so many different things, but when we worship the Lord, when we go to heaven, we would be completely new. And therefore, that is where we need to focus. If I know tomorrow when I'll be a citizen of heaven, I won't be like this. I won't be thinking of, oh, I'm an introvert person. Then that's how we should be living our life today. Why? Because we are strong enough to do it? Because we are capable enough to do it? Because we are really good at doing it? No. Simply because my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. So my dear church, I don't really know the answer for each and every one of you if you're mature or not. And it would be wrong for me to give that answer for your behalf, on your behalf. But I want to ask this question to you this morning. Are we there yet? Are we mature enough? So when Paul writes a letter to us saying, all those who are mature will be in that group, or will be in a group where Paul is using all his anger saying, you are the enemies of cross. Think about it. Let's pray.